Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. How you doing this afternoon? I think my voice is actually getting better. And today it is my great pleasure to sit down with Wendy Andrews. She is now with the food bank. And last time we talked to you, Wendy, you were working for the Greenwood County
Community
Foundation.
Foundation
with the doing that big survey about everything that we wanted to try to accomplish in our goals, right?
Greenwood County Community Indicators Project.
Right.
Which is, in fact, I'm still affiliated with.
Well, good.
I am still working on that as well.
Well, you know, the last time we talked a lot about you and, of course, what you had been in. Let's see, if I remember correctly, you had a career in the military. Am I right there? I'm trying to remember back here.
Yes, I was in the Navy.
In the Navy.
4 years.
Yes, and life was good.
Life was really good. I always often say that if I knew now what I knew then, I probably would have retired in the military. But then I was like, 20 years, it just seems so
long.
long.
Right.
But now it just whizzed by.
It does whiz by,
It
doesn't it?
does.
Yeah. So, let's see, how long you have just transitioned, I guess we could say, to the Greenwood Food Bank, and how is that going?
It's going well, you know, but it's challenging because, you know, I come in and there are a lot of things that needed to be addressed immediately. So I'll be in 3 weeks tomorrow. So there's been a lot of meeting with grantors and funders, and then my plan to meet with some key donors and volunteers to bring everybody up to speed. Because, you know, when you hear the word change,
Right.
she said there's going to be a lot of change. It's
Change.
like, oh my goodness, you know, there's panic.
Right.
So it's really not so much change as it is implementation of the guidelines and adhering to the guidelines that have been set forth by Golden Harvest Food Bank.
Sure. Now, of course, Golden Harvest Food Bank is huge. I mean, it is all across the nation.
Yes, it is. And so they are our major distributor of food, USDA food. And then the food that we receive from retailers like Walmart, Publix, and Food Lion, and so forth, Philo, they all fall under the Feed America, which is under the Golden Harvest umbrella. And so that food that we receive from them then becomes under the guidelines of Golden Harvest.
So you have to adhere to the ways that Golden Harvest wants the policies to be implemented because you are receiving their food.
Right. We are a partner agency for Golden Harvest, and they set certain guidelines that we must follow in order to remain a partner agency and to continue to receive the free USDA food, and then food that we purchase through their distribution centers at lower costs, as well as the food that we get from the retail rescues.
Sure. Now, you know, one of the things that I know, we just had the big food drive with the post office, the letter,
Right.
not really the post office, with the letter carriers, right?
Right.
They just picked up all this food. How did that turn out for the food bank?
Actually, we just got another load in yesterday that was around 300 or so pounds. It keeps trickling in. And so right now we're at nearly 8,000 pounds.
8,000 pounds
of food, yes.
And the letter carriers all packed that up in their mail trucks and took that down. That's amazing.
That is. So it's really a sacrifice, because you got to think, a lot of times they park and they walk down the street.
Yes.
So they're getting bags of groceries as they come back along the way. And so to show our appreciation for them, we did give them a breakfast just a couple of days ago to honor them, because we do realize the sacrifice it is. And as well as the food that they picked up, and people donated throughout Greenwood County,
Right.
they also collected around $1,500.
That's tremendous. That really is tremendous. You know, one thing, and you know, I know we've talked about this before, is what a giving community Greenwood, South Carolina is.
It really is. It really is. I mean, the generosity of the residents of Greenwood County, we wouldn't be able to, as nonprofits, accomplish a lot of things without them. Because not only through the giving, we have the volunteers. You know, Food Bank of Greenwood County only has 2 staff people. The rest of it is run by volunteers, and they are giving up their time and talent to be there. Some, we have some at the tender age of 90,
tender age of 90.
Still, they've been there 20 and 30 years. I mean, I think it's remarkable.
It is remarkable. And to have, I'll use the word vibrant for a food bank. I mean, when the call goes out that the pantry is low, you automatically know that you'll be able to count on donations coming in.
Right, right. Well, that's been what has happened so far. And I'm really going to, as we move forward, going to count on that more in the future because of things that I've shared with you that I'm sure we'll go into later.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that's neat about the food bank, though, I mean, you also, can't you take vegetables and stuff from farmers?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
We can. And we have received some from Parisi Farms as well. And if we can take donations. I haven't seen any farmers since I've been there dropping their wares off. But we do receive a lot of produce from, you know, Walmart and Food Lion and Buy Low and things like that. So we do get a lot of produce.
So and so it's not just, we always think of it as the dried goods or the canned goods, but you actually get meat and some milk too?
Exactly. Meat, dairy, pastries, bread, you name it, we get it. And it's good because we want to have a balanced meal to be able to provide to families.
Now, when a family member comes in to claim, how is it set up right now to work? Do you have to do you get X amount of bags of groceries, or do you pack it for them? How exactly does it work if you go to the food bank?
Right. So you would self-declare how many members are in your family. And there is on the back walls where the canned goods are and all of the produce and everything, there's an amount that you can get per family size. So if you might get one can of corn per family size and maybe three, four, or five. Right. And so it's not like it can vary, you know, depending on the meat they get and how much produce we have. That if they come on a Thursday when we just have the produce truck in, we want to get all of that produce out, you might get more produce, you know, so... That's pretty much how it is, based on the family size.
Correct. But it is, now, do they get to pick it, or does the volunteers pick it?
Well, they get to pick three items. They get to pick three individual items. That's items that we don't usually get. You know, we get donations, but we might not get a whole lot of, say, like flour or sugar or oil or things like that. So they get to pick three of those items. And then we also have a freezer and a refrigerator, so sometimes we have salads or a salad mix, and then we have Lunchables and Hot Pockets or something like that in the freezer. So they get to pick two of those items, and then the rest are packed by the volunteers in the back.
Okay. All right, that's what I thought. I thought that they did have some picking, but they don't just to go through and pick out all the meat out of the case.
No, they get to decide which type of meat they have, beef, pork, or chicken.
Wow. Okay.
Right.
Okay. And let's see, we just, Bill Leeks just called. Can you use some venison?
Yes.
Okay, well, we just got a call. He said he has some venison. Can you use some venison?
So. Always. Thank you so much, Mr. Lynch.
Leeks, yes.
Thank you so much, Mr. Leeks. And we do have venison account. Yes, we can always use that.
Okay. You know, it's not like some can't take certain things. Like if I remember correctly, and I may be wrong on this, but I remember years ago, like the soup kitchen couldn't take it, but I think the food bank could take it, and that's tremendous.
Right, right. We usually have to have our, it has to be packaged, you know.
So you can't just take the whole deer.
Right, no, we can't.
It's got to go to a meat processor and then be brought in.
And be packaged, and then we can get it.
Okay. Right? Well, that's great, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why I was thinking about the vegetables and whatnot, you know, somebody, a farmer. Now, how about a family gardener that just had an overabundance? They planted a few too many cucumbers or something like that. Can you take those? Or
yes.
Does it have to come from somebody with a business, or can it come from a backyard gardener? That was my question, really.
Yes. You know, being that I've been there 3 weeks, I really don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I can say that it would appear that we could.
Right.
And I would say that because I remember Dr. Parm.
Right.
And he would come, and he had this huge garden, and he would have corn. One day he would come with a whole bunch of corn, or he would have a whole bunch of tomatoes. And so he would, you know, give that to the to the food bank to distribute.
Sure.
Yes, so, but I'm going to check on it.
The fact that the venison, that is tremendous. So these type of things, if you have them and you're not going to be able to use them or you'd just like to contribute them over there at the food bank. Now, where exactly is the food bank?
The food bank is located at 222 East Avenue, and that's at the United Center. It's right on the same street as the soup kitchen. A lot of people are familiar with that side of the building where the soup kitchen is. So there's the Monsanto Gym, and then we're the back part of the United Center.
Okay. And what are the hours? When are they open? When could somebody drop off things?
We're open 9 to 4, Monday through Fridays. And that's for people to be able to drop things off. But we distribute food Monday through Fridays, 10 until 1.
Okay. So there is time before and after you're actually distributing the food. So 9 to 4, Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is terrific. And a telephone number if somebody wanted to call and ask a question or find out some more information.
Okay. That's 864-227-1556.
Okay.
That's 864-227-1556.
All right, that sounds great. Hey, listen, we are here with Wendy Andrews. She is the new head of the food bank right here in Greenwood. And I know she's going to do a good job, and she's got some goals here that when we come back, we're going to talk about. Certainly hope you'll stay right with us right here on WCRS. We'll be back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Okay. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right back here with you at WCRS in my studio over here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We're talking with Wendy Andrews today. She is the new head of the Greenwood Food Bank. And, you know, I think one of the things that, of course, a lot of people were very concerned when they read that there were going to be changes in the food bank. And, of course, that usually indicates in a bad way, right?
Right.
Yeah. But when you talk about changes, I guess we could say that Golden Harvest is a little more liberal than what the Greenwood Food Bank originally was.
Right. I think that we want to, our goal is to meet people hunger needs. We don't want any families or individuals in our family, in our community, to be hungry. But we want to also be good stewards over the food and the funding and the resources that have been entrusted to us. So one of the things we want to ensure that we are meeting true food needs. And, you know, with the case management at United Way and some of the other organizations, they've all done a really good job in identifying true need.
Sure.
And we want to continue that practice. We want to make sure that...
You don't want to have abuse.
No, we do not want to have abuse. We do not want to have people's hard-earned food and money and contributions go toward abuse and misuse and selling of the food for... other behaviors.
Right.
We don't even want to encourage and endorse those type of behaviors. But we want to give people a hand up and, you know, help them meet them at the point of their needs and then provide them with an opportunity and other resources to become self-sufficient. And we don't want to continue to cripple people by enabling them.
Sure.
And that's our ultimate goal.
Sure. I know one of the real issues out there is, of course, it's children, it's families and everything. But some of our elder people, they just do not get enough Social Security to feed themselves for a month. They can't even get enough food stamps to be able to make it worth. In fact, I know of some elder people that just say it's not worth going through all the paperwork and the fill out that you have to do to get food stamps. So they do without.
Yes, and that is so disheartening. I was having a conversation with someone, and in fact, Denise Manley always says, Wendy, you just have a heart for the elderly, and I do. There is so much wisdom there, and so many years of work and sacrifice you know, to help build this country and then to retire peacefully. And I think they should be cared for. And it's just, I think it's just a disservice and unjust for them to only receive $10 or $12 worth of food stamp.
I don't understand it. And you know, I even had someone from the Salvation Army telling me about this. And I said, well, what is the deal? Why doesn't somebody get to the bottom of this, you know?
Yeah, they're saying that it's because the Social Security or the check that they receive every month counts as part of their government assistance. Now, I don't know why when they paid into it all their lives and it's really their money. But,
right, exactly.
But you know, so it's all based on how much each family or each person, individual or family size, will they qualify for a certain amount of government assistance, some monetary amount.
Right.
And the Social Security or the fixed income that they receive counts, it filters into that, it factors into that.
And you know, so that is such a shame when we see people that are buying crab meat and
mm-hmm.
steaks with their food stamps, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we have elder people that are just, you know, barely squeaking by and sometimes not squeaking by very well at all.
I can tell you, when I was at the United Way and I was right, I had a call from a case manager or a caseworker at Self Regional Hospital. And she called me and she said there was an elderly couple there. And she said they had come there and they were malnourished and dehydrated. And she was sending them over to me to give them, to write a food referral for them. So I brought them in a little area with me because, you know, sometimes they can be proud. And that's
right.
why they won't ask for help. This is why it's good for us to identify them and then find a way to get them the help without sacrificing or compromising,
right.
you know, what they feel is, you know, is important to them. And they were buying a cheeseburger at McDonald's, and you know, that's one of the cheapest burgers
right.
you can get. And they would either get one cheeseburger a day or hamburger and split it between the two of them, or he would eat one day and she would eat the next day. And I just boohoo, you know, I was smiling and helping them and cuddling and bathing them and loving on them. But when they left, I just boohooed. And I was talking to my board chair, Steve Shiflet, and I from Cutamax, and I was telling him, I said, that's who we need. We need to find them.
Right.
And we need to identify them because they're not going to say that they need the help
that is,
a lot of
that
time.
That is true.
You know, we need to be a little bit more proactive when we're in church and we're listening because people say a lot without saying a lot.
They do.
You know, someone has no family. They're living on fixed income. They're having some health issues and they got medicine. They need some food because oftentimes they have to choose between the food or their medicine.
Correct.
You know, and it's a shame that in this day and age and in America that people have to make that choice. I want to find those people, Ann.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And on the other end of the spectrum is the children.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
during the school year, at least Monday through Friday, they'll get two meals.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I've talked with Denise Manley mm-hmm. about the backpack program, sending kids home on the weekend. You know, I think the thing that really sunk home in my brain was the fact that if we send children home on the weekend and they don't eat nutritious food, they may have a candy bar or something,
mm-hmm.
but if they don't eat nutritious food, it takes them till Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, after they're back getting good nutritious food for their brains to work. So
mm-hmm.
it's a waste.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like starting over, and each time that week starts over, then they have really falling behind and trying to catch up to where they were the previous week.
Sure.
You know.
And so that's the, I think, the other end of the spectrum where we see children that just really need food to be able to grow, for their brains to be able to react and work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other group. And they are the quite often the ones that can't say, I'm hungry.
Right. And they can't get, you know, in the summertime and after, you know, they can't get themselves to the soup kitchen or
right.
anything like that. And on the weekend, they can't take themselves to the soup kitchen on Saturday at the Greenwood Soup Kitchen and Emmanuel
right.
Lutheran on Sunday. They are relying on parents who sometimes are not either there to take them or not available for
right.
them and unable to.
Or unable or aren't thinking about the kids. I'll go ahead and say it.
You
How about
ahead.
That? All right. Hey, we're going to hear South Carolina radio news. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Wendy and I have been in deep, deep conversation here during the break. You know, it does seem, Wendy, that it is, we want people to succeed. We want people to have enough food. We want people to get out there and get a job. And yet sometimes it seems like there's wrong signals being sent.
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, in our willingness to help, in our generous spirit, that sometimes we give so much that we cripple people. Mm-hmm. And after we give it consistently so much, then people become enabled and then have a sense of entitlement. So there's a balance there. We have to really focus on the helping hand.
Right.
And to help people, you know, and to provide people with the tools necessary to empower themselves to become self-sufficient. Because what does that do? That stimulates our economy. You know, it reduces the poverty rate. You know, it reduces the unemployment rate. You know, we can demand higher pay. We have more skilled workers and all of that. That really ultimately helps us overall. But sometimes we really like to feel warm and fuzzy and look so and smile at ourselves in the mirror and say, job well done.
Right.
You know, but it's not for us to say job well done. It's just for God to tell us job well done when we meet him. But it, our job well done is to focus more on helping people help themselves. And that's what we want to do. And that's what the Community Indicators Project is all about. We want to build people to become productive members of society. We want our children to have a high-quality education, go on and get high-quality skilled jobs, and stimulate our economy.
Sure. Yeah. And so it's all part of a total picture.
It is. It is.
And you know, I think actually it's probably good you came from the community indicator side, mm-hmm. because it gave you a different focus than probably a lot of people coming into that job that didn't have the background in
mm-hmm.
that.
Right. You know, and also, and what I tell people, I'm not talking about something I don't know, because I was that person. And I can still be that person tomorrow. So, and I oftentimes tell people that when I needed assistance, when I needed help, I wanted somebody to help me up. I don't want you to provide everything for me. Then what is my motivation? And then after a while, then my spirit gets beat down because I can't provide for my children.
Right.
You know, and then it becomes woe is me. Then I become depressed. And then I become just, well.
It's a whole cycle.
It's a whole cycle. Then all of a sudden I'm at a point where I should have this because you've given it to me for so long. But that's not what I wanted. I wanted to be able to provide for my children. I wanted to be a mother, and I wanted to set an example for them, you know.
But do you think that comes from your upbringing?
Oh, yeah, it definitely comes from my upbringing.
Okay. But the way your mom was, and
yeah,
you know.
Her mom was before that, yes.
Yes, yeah.
And
that makes a big difference. And I think in some parts of society, we're missing that. We're missing that motivation to be that way. Sure, there's always... There may always be a time where you need that extra help, and nobody minds giving that. But your mom and your mom's mom,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't optional, was it?
No, it was not an option.
Right.
Yeah, it's not an option.
You know, we used to say, failure is not an option.
Failure is not
right,
an option.
Yeah, exactly.
And sitting at home hanging out is not an option,
yeah.
Especially when you're grown. But I think sometimes, you know, I have to believe in my heart. I have to believe in my heart that... When I see people maybe sitting on the porch all day and all of that, I have to believe in my heart that they really don't want to be out there like that. I have to recognize that some people have barriers that prevent them. And I have to admit that sometimes when I was riding into United Center for many years that I was like, well, I got to get up and go to work. I'm a mom. I don't have a choice. You know,
right.
Well, a moment that comes to you, and then I have to check myself.
Right.
You know, I have to check myself and remember why I got into the nonprofit world. And that was me one time. Right. And I have to say, okay, there has to be a reason. If you have a domestic violence charge, then you don't qualify. You're not eligible for the homes. If you have a criminal background, then you can't get a job. It's very difficult to get a job. And if you have an addiction, I mean, at that moment, you're living the best life you know how at that time. Now, if you don't have any of those issues, or you're not trying to get assistance for any of those issues, and you just hanging out, right. and you're a well able-bodied person, then I ask you to come on down to the food bank and volunteer. And, you know, and you can, if you don't have anything to give monetarily, you can give your time. And after a while, when they start to see the big difference that they're making in other people's lives, then they'll want that for themselves. And it's a cycle, a positive cycle that continues. But do something positive.
Sure. Get out of feeling woe is me.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, because it's easy to get stuck there.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's a nice fuzzy place to be,
isn't it? It is. Warm and fuzzy. No one expects anything from you, so you don't have to do anything. You won't be disappointing anybody at all.
Okay. All right. Now, one of your goals, I understand, is to be completely self-sufficient at the food bank. What exactly are you meaning by that, Wendy?
I'm meaning that I want... Golden Harvest has done well by us and provided us with an opportunity to serve a lot of families in our community. But I think that some of the guidelines are not in line with what I believe and some of the board members and volunteers, what we all believe should happen. We currently, or beforehand, but not currently, we're sharing food with other nonprofit organizations. If we had a surplus of food that we could not give out in order and before it went bad or it spoiled, you know, that we would share it with, like, say, Bowers Rogers for give the milk to the children, or Pathway House or Faith Home and other nonprofit organizations. But under these current guidelines, we're unable to do that. And
so what do you do if the milk goes bad?
We have to throw it away.
That's a waste.
Just a waste.
That's a waste.
And so we haven't done that yet. So what I told them was that, okay, and when I replied to them in my, when I submitted my resolutions, I told them initially that would be a great deal of waste. But because we do not have anything in place right now, that would be another process I have to come up with to distribute that food, the amount of food, the milk and dairy products that we receive and produce we receive in that short period of time that we have, especially when we get it on Thursday. That means we only have Friday to give it out.
Sure.
And sometimes when we get it, it's on its last few days of before it expires.
Yeah.
Yes. Or the, you know, the produce.
Well, I could see the Golden Harvest saying, well, then you should be open on Saturday, Wendy.
No. Well, that we might be open to get rid of the produce on Saturday, like we have a surplus, or
right.
a mobile food truck might be an option, or things like that. There are a lot of different things that I'm trying to come up with. But also, again, I just don't want to give the food out all.
Right.
I want to identify something and set up a program, maybe partner with South Regional Healthcare. They don't know this yet, but they will.
So if you're listening, here it comes.
Yeah, somehow maybe we can take that produce and, like, they go up to Parisi Farms and
go to the Uptown Market.
Parisi Farms.
Uptown Market.
Uptown Market, and, you know, have taste tests of different healthy foods. Well, my client base doesn't normally get to the Uptown Market. So perhaps they can bring that same service to the food bank, and maybe we can even utilize some of the produce we have, if that's within their guidelines, and to show the people how to make healthier meals and things like that. So I have a lot of different ideas that I just have to come up with one or two of the best ones and implement them.
And time is of the essence, Wendy.
Time is definitely of the essence. Because let me elaborate. I want us to be self-sufficient. I want us to have enough funding and enough food to distribute on our own without utilizing the USDA food that we receive from Golden Harvest or those foods that come under Golden Harvest guidelines. Because we are a community that collaborates with each other, partner with each other, help each other out, share each other resources, because that's how we can maximize our effectiveness in the community. If I can't do that with the resources that I have,
right.
then I want to make that happen.
Sure. you want to be able to see the best benefit for the food bank and work within the community. And, of course, that's one of the great things that Greenwood community is good about. I know the soup kitchen, if they have something they get too much of, they can't use. There's been that partnership.
It's been that partnership. We're right next to each other. They were giving us, we were giving them. I mean, it was just a win-win. But the Go to Harvest, you know, says that they can also, well, they also, these organizations also have the same opportunity to come up under their umbrella. And they will receive food, you know,
right,
you know, without us having to share that. And I understand, I respect that that's their guidelines. But it's not our culture,
right?
You know, in this community, and it's also not, it's also our culture to be good stewards over the funding and the food, and to identify true need.
You know, there's a lot of communities that don't have the base that we have set up right here in Greenwood, whether it's the United Center, all the different groups that we have here. Just take United Ministries or any of these groups. They don't have that in a lot of communities.
They really don't. Greenwood is very unique. When I go to a lot of meetings, especially when I was with United Way of Quest, talk about United Way a lot. That was my longest term in the nonprofit world. And I went to a lot of regional meetings, and I would sit down and talk about our partnerships and collaborations, even with the city and the county government and the business industry, and people were just being all. And I finally realized that other communities don't collaborate and partner like we do here. This is really a special place we have here in Greenwood.
That's right. So that's probably part of the reason that working the ideas that you have is such a good way to go. Hey, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I tell you what, you know, y'all could be listening to what we're talking about off the air. Woo!
I know. Ooh, good conversation.
Absolutely. But, you know, one of the things we were talking about is that, and one of the things you said is that we need more people to say that you can make it from a bad situation into a good situation. And that whether it's community leaders or whether it's people that are just good folk that, you know, went through a bad time and came through it on the other side. You know, it sounds like a science fiction movie, right? Coming through on the other side. That more people need to speak up so people can see. Because I think you're right. There is a hopeless culture going on out there.
And I think there is. I think when you share your story, you know, your test becomes your testimony. Your mess becomes your message. And sometimes we get so caught up in living because we have come on the other side, or we're living, we're thriving, we're going about our lives, raising our children, that either one, we forget where we came from and what our obstacles and adversities were, or we want to forget them for whatever reason. But it's very important that those were given to us to bring somebody else to the other side. And if I think if more children can see that there can, and other families, grown people, everybody can see that there can be a change, then that's motivation and inspiration, and that's not our gift to keep. It's our gift to give.
Gift to share.
Exactly.
I think you've got a good point there because, you know, we always hear the basketball stars or the football stars, you know, and but the everyday person is the person that a lot of our kids need to see.
Exactly, because they're just, you know, so far away from achieving that. But, you know, how many people are really going to become NFL football players or NBA? Right. You know, just a handful. What about all the people in our community?
Exactly. That's why the Greenwood Promise is such a good option if we can get our kids to the high school age and that they can see they have the opportunity to go to school.
Yes, even knowing that, you know, as a goal, if I can keep my nose clean, if I can, you know, keep a 2.5 average, I can really go to college. It's right. not an impossibility anymore. I can actually do that. And I think Greenwood Promise is going to do an amazing job in changing the way Greenwood is
changing
now.
The culture.
Changing the culture. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what we always talk about is how can you change the culture? How can we maximize places like the Greenwood Food Bank to do the most good? You know, we talk about that with all of our charities. In fact, I know that's part of the mission of the United Center, doing the most good.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So what other things, Wendy, are you looking at to be able to do? You'd like to be totally independent, to be able to set real guidelines, I guess, for right. that, to really help the people that really need help.
Right. Exactly.
And how do you think you'll be able to go about that? What would be the process?
Well, I'm talking to first of all, transparency. You know, sometimes things happen or it seems like it's a bump in the road and you want to hide it. No, we need to be transparent, especially with our grantors and those donors who have been there with us all along, and then let them know, look, this is the situation. This is what I'm up against. I want to become self-sufficient so we can maintain the spirit of Greenwood and how right. we live in Greenwood right. and not, you know, these guidelines. And I need your help, you know, because it's going to take funding in order for us to become self-sufficient. You know, we're going to lose some perks, you know, free USDA food, higher food costs. And it's going to take me a while to go around and try to find and work and partner with other retailers to try to get those costs down. And, I need that type of support. I need donors to understand that the change is positive, you know, that we're doing this temporarily because we have to meet the food need of people in our community. We cannot close our doors. That is just not an option.
Right.
To close our doors is just not an option. But we want to move forward and helping people to become self-sufficient, as well as I want to have some summer program with the youth to get them involved in doing their volunteerism, as well as some type of mentorship and also healthy eating, you know, partnering with some of the other nonprofit organizations, because bringing in that youth and getting them younger and especially middle school, you know, we want to try to help break that cycle and let them know that they can contribute to their own and just make them feel good about that of giving back, and then also taking control of their own lives.
I see the food bank having a community garden here.
Do you just see it back there? We go back there. Yeah. We have space.
Okay, there you go. I mean, you know, a community garden could be coming your way.
Yes. That would be wonderful.
And that would be a good youth project right there.
That would be. And for what they can see, what they've done with their own hands, and then to eat that, and then feel a part of that, and teach. There's so much to teach them out of that project alone.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds to me like, Wendy, you've got your hands full.
I surely do. You know, I surely do. And I'm really enjoying it, though, because I have a supportive board, you know, a great board, a great team of volunteers. You know, all of the grantors that I've spoken to so far are on board because they know the culture that we have here in Greenwood County. And it's just challenging, a lot of work I've done. I had tons of meetings in just a few short weeks, but I'm excited about the possibilities, Anne. I really am.
Well, you know, I think it's good to have goals, and I think it's good to put any organization on self-sufficiency to be able to serve the group that you need and want to serve. Mm-hmm. So it's important. Again, I think our elders that are so suffering, you know, this is the first time anybody's explained to me that because they get some Social Security, that knocks them back for getting food stamps, even though that Social Security may not pay much of anything.
Right. And they've earned it, but it becomes like, seems like it's government money, so it's factored into what they can get.
Wow.
It's sad.
It is sad. Mm-hmm. It is very, very sad. So we need to make sure that our elders are taken care of, and we need to be able to make sure that the kids, I mean, all people need to not be hungry.
Right.
You know, if you've been listening here today and you'd like to get involved, or maybe like Bill Leakes, who said he has some venison to donate.
Thank you, Mr. Leakes.
Yeah, you'd like to, maybe you've got some way that you can help out, whether it's one time or multiple times. Mm-hmm. I know you'd love to talk to him.
Yes, I would definitely love to talk to him. Please give me a call at 227-1556. But, you know, if you're unable to contribute monetarily, we would love to have you to be a volunteer. I'm going to be part of our organization, a part of this positive change.
Right. So 227-1556. Now, you can drop things by at the food bank. What were the hours? Anytime?
Anytime between the hours of 9 and 4, Mondays through Fridays.
So,
and if you can't make it through those hours and you call us beforehand, we will stay and we will make provisions for you.
That's right. Never turn down a basket full of food.
Never, ever.
There you go. Wendy, you know, I'm so glad we got to sit down and chat again. I always learn a lot when we sit down and talk.
It's always great. I really enjoy it. And thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We'll have to have you back after a few months and see how you're doing.
Yes, I would love that.
All right. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. We have been talking with Wendy Andrews. She is the director of the Greenwood Food Bank. 227-1556. If you'd like to call her, if you've got a question, 227-1556. Thanks so much, Wendy.
Thank you, Ann.
Bye-bye, everybody.